Hello, everybody. Welcome. I hope that you're doing well. I hope that things are going all right today. And I am really looking forward to hearing your voices today and to connecting with all of you today. I can't believe that it's our last call for this cycle. Oh, my gosh. The time, all at the same time, time has been long and short. I know I keep on saying this the last couple of weeks, but it still really is blowing my mind. Anyway, I am excited for the call today because it is our last one of this cycle. We've got a special topics call today. We're going to be combining coaching and transformational skills with marketing and looking at how to apply foundational and not foundational transformational skills to your marketing in order to make it more effective. So we'll dive into that in a moment. But for now, let's take a moment and get grounded and get centered and get settled. So I invite you, wherever you are, to connect inwards. Close your eyes if you feel comfortable closing your eyes. Really give yourself the gift of presence and awareness. Focus on your breath. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up, take in life, expand. As you exhale, let go. Really using the breath to connect deeply with yourself. Really using the breath to connect deeply with your wisdom. And using the breath to connect to this moment. And as you do this, sense in to your own energetic container. So we speak, as you know, in sacred depths a lot about the powerful container with clients. Each of our bodies also has a container, an energetic container, which is related to our capacity to hold lots of things, our emotions, thoughts that come through, as well as our capacity to hold more in our businesses. Sometimes we can sense into our energetic container and see that it's confining a bit. It actually isn't either wide enough or strong enough to really hold what we want to be calling in. If that makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense, that's okay too. Either way, sense in whatever that means for you, sense into your energetic container. How much you're allowing yourself to receive and hold. And without thinking too much on this or at all, your mind doesn't have to perceive it necessarily. I invite you to set the intention to strengthen your container, to strengthen your energetic container, so that you can receive and hold and use all that you would like to come your way. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. Allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. So, my intention for our call today is to really use it as a workshop time and space in order to strengthen your marketing. And when I say marketing, I mean in all ways. So that can mean written materials, and that can mean your newsletters, that can mean your social media posts, that can mean your sales pages, it can mean speaking, so workshops, videos, Facebook Lives. It can also mean your enrollment conversations. So any and all of the above. And what I've really come to learn, and I keep on learning it more and more all the time, is that in order for marketing to be effective, it's not about doing more and more and more and more activities and different kinds of strategies and, you know, all of that. You know, for those of you that have been in planning sessions with me, you know that, especially for when you're starting out, but really, you know, in general, unless you're business is really big, I don't recommend more than 3 marketing strategies at a time. So it's not the quantity that matters. When I say quantity, again, what I mean is how many different strategies. The quantity of each strategy does matter because persistence and consistency in whatever marketing strategy you choose does matter, right? So being persistent in your newsletter, if that's a strategy, or in your social media, if that's a strategy, or, you know, in your reaching out to be on podcasts, or, you know, whatever it is. But anyway, it's not the quantity of strategies, it's the quality of strategy. And what I've really come to see on top of this is that the coaching and transformational skills and practices that we use so powerfully with our clients and with our groups are actually big keys, kind of big secrets, big keys, whatever you want to call it, to making our marketing more effective, more powerful, and I'm going to say this, more transformational. So you guys are here and you're connected to me and, you know, because you want to be transformational with your clients, right? We talk about being a transformational practitioner so much in Sacred Depths and all of that. What if your marketing itself could be transformational, right? What if it's not just once a client invests in you, but the marketing itself is transformational? Now, I'm not talking about whole kit and caboodle transformational, because then there's no need to invest in you. But we do want our marketing to be, one of the purposes is to be a value add for the people in front of us, to be valuable to our community. Valuable in the sense, of course, that, you know, it will lead them to into our offerings, which will be incredibly valuable for them, but also valuable simply because they're connecting with the marketing itself. For those of you that have been through the Authentic Enrollment Conversation Workshop, you know that that's how I feel about enrollment conversations, right? That they're not just sales calls, that those conversations are 110% meant to be transformational, meant to, like, really make an impact on the prospect. Same goes for your marketing. And when the marketing is more transformational, it is also more effective and more powerful. And so if we're using particular transformational skills with our clients, we can actually apply those skills to our marketing as well. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. It's an opportunity, obviously, to, as I said, to enhance your marketing, to make it more transformational, more effective, more powerful. There's also like a nice, not a full review of some of the Sacred Depths skills, but it, you know, you'll be reminded of certain pieces of Sacred Depths skills, you know, and things that maybe aren't top of mind that are important. So all that being said, let me ask you this first before we go any further. Two questions. Number one, what is your wish for your marketing? And I know that's a big kind of broad question, and that's on purpose. I'm not looking for anything in particular here. I just really want to see what wants to come up for you. What is your wish for your marketing? And next question, what does transformational marketing mean to you? If you were to define transformational marketing, what would that mean for you? One more question, just to start off with, just came through, and this may be important for some of you. In what ways have you been separating your transformational self from your marketing? In what ways, even if you've been integrating some of it, we all, myself included, right, have places where we're still not fully integrating it. In what ways have you been separating your transformational self, the depth of your transformational presence and work from your marketing? How have you maybe been keeping that separate? So let's pause here for a moment. I'd love to hear from one or two of you just what's coming up for you so far. What's striking you? What are you seeing? What are you desiring? Star two. Who is this? 0684.
Hi, Joanna. This is Nicole.
Hi.
Hi. Well, what's coming up for me is that, what's your first question? My wish for my marketing is that I would love to enjoy doing it. And sometimes I have no inspiration or little inspiration, and then I don't do anything on marketing. So it depends on my own inspiration, and I guess that should I can turn this around somehow, I feel. So I want to have more fun because I also think that is linked to my authentic self. And I think that maybe is something I separate.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's coming up for me.
Yeah, my sense is that you actually bring a lot of fun to your client work. And
I do.
And inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So why have you been not bringing that into the marketing? Is it whether it's a belief or a fear standing in the way?
Well, sometimes I do. Yeah, but it's not like I do it constantly. It's just by some... it depends on the mood of the day, it looks like. I'm not sure. I think it's also a belief that I sometimes have to be, that I think my belief is that to be valuable, I have to bring some serious content. You know what I mean? So as if there is something opposite to having fun and bringing some serious content.
Yeah. Okay, good. So there's two pieces in here that are important. So one is kind of mood of the day. I don't want to discredit that, right? Because just like everything else in life, inspiration for marketing goes in cycles. You know, like there are days where I'm more inspired and there are days where I'm less inspired. And the days that I'm less inspired, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter how long I sit. It's just...
Yeah.
It doesn't happen, right? So one thing is just to honor that, right? And if you know it's a day where it's just you're not in the mood to use your time in better ways, but then also track when you are in the mood. I think that's one piece that will help and really important for all of us, right? We can't expect... to be excited to do anything all the time. The other piece that you mentioned is also important, and this kind of belief that, and what did you say again, that your content, say that one more time.
There's some belief that I believe that my content should be very seriously or something. It has to be it has to contain a lot of value. I have to be valuable all the time. And when I strongly believe that, I tend to be more seriously and have less fun. You know what I mean? Then I try to make my marketing. I force my marketing a little bit.
Yeah, and then things get heavy, and then maybe you're not in the mood because
And then I think, well, let it go. And then I don't do the podcast I'd like to do, or I don't write the blog post I'd like to write.
Yeah.
So.
So number one, how can you bring fun into it from the get-go, right? Now that you know that this is a filter for you, that you tend to get heavy, how can you bring fun and also check that heavy filter before you even get there, really be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, and I want you to write this down and everybody to write this down, content isn't what transforms people or activates them to buy.
Yeah.
It is not. That is a misconception.
Mm.
What activates people to buy and what transforms them is your presence, your energy, your ability to activate their desire, your ability to activate their belief in themselves, your ability to make them really want the thing that they want, and your ability to help them see that it's doable.
That is so true. Yeah.
And I love to write, you know, I mean, and I do, you know, I haven't stopped doing my newsletter articles because I love them, and they do help my business for sure in one way or another, but that they don't get people to buy. That's not. And I shouldn't say that. The articles where I'm just giving a lot of content are not the ones that people buy from. The articles where I'm activating people, those are the ones that people buy from.
Mm.
Whether it's a sales email or a newsletter article. And we'll get more into what this means, how to activate, as we go along in the call today. So I'm so glad you're bringing all that up. Thank you.
Yes. Great. Thank you.
All right. Let's continue. And let's take a look at listening skills. Let's start there. So you've been through Sacred Depths. You know how important listening skills are when you're working with clients. But listening skills are also really, really important when it comes to marketing, whether the marketing is an enrollment conversation or whether the marketing is, you know, copy or presentations or whatever it is. There are a lot, if I'm sure you remember, there's a lot of components to deep and masterful listening. I want to go through a couple right now that are particularly important and powerful to consider in your marketing. So number one, if you remember one of our listening, Sacred Depths listening principles is always listen for the who, right? Coach the what based on the who, and also you want to always listen for the who. So not just the what, not just what's the situation, which, you know, that's a little bit marketing 101, and I know that all of you have that integrated in, you know, what's the client's situation. But the other thing that you want to think about is who is this ideal client? What is their personality? What is their disposition? And maybe even most important, what are their values? In your marketing, you don't want to just speak to a client, a possible client, a prospect who's in a particular situation, right? Let's just pick, you know, hormonal health, right? They need support with hormonal health. They're having painful periods, right? That's the situation. what's going to make that more powerful is to speak to this person's personality, disposition, and values. That doesn't mean that you have clients, you don't have clients with very different personalities. You can, but there are some factors that are going to be the same for all of them. So take a moment and just make a note for yourself, who is your ideal client? Specifically, what's their personality? What is their disposition? And what are their values? And I'll give you guys an example from my own business that you'll be able to recognize. I may have mentioned this here before. Integrity, I know for my ideal clients, is one of their top values. That's because it's one of my top values, that I know that this is so important to who my ideal client is. Because of that, I speak about integrity a lot. Not only have I written articles on it, but I also it's part of a lot of the language that I use in my marketing. When I activate Gap and Vision, one of the things that I activate Gap and Vision around is integrity. I know that a common personality trait of my ideal clients, even though they vary in personality in lots of different ways, but I know one common denominator is depth. My clients love to go deep. Their personalities, they much prefer a deep one-on-one conversation with a good friend than surface talk at a party, small talk. They love to go deep, right? So that obviously I've woven that into the names of my programming. Names of programs are marketing, right? And I mention it a lot. So what is your ideal client's personality, disposition, and what are their values? Next listening skill that can be activated for your marketing are filters. So if you remember back to filters, filters are really like the buildup of all of our experiences in life that we may or may not be aware of, that we end up seeing life through these filters. And when it comes to client work, we want to be able to check these filters or else we can't hear correctly. But we also want to, as best we can in our client work, start to understand what our client filters are, right? Like any particular client, what is this client's filters? So, for example, if I'm working with a client, and she's lived in an urban setting her whole entire life, she likely has an urban filter. And the reason why it's important for me as a practitioner to be aware of that is because she might be making some assumptions or have some held beliefs based on that filter, based on that filter. So how does this apply to marketing? Well, in our marketing, we want to identify some of our ideal clients' filters and then address the beliefs associated with those filters in our marketing. So take a moment and jot down some notes on this. What are the top three beliefs? It could be a limiting belief or not, a supportive belief. What are the top three beliefs of your ideal client? You may not get to top three. You can just jot down a whole bunch. What are some of the things that your ideal clients believe? And again, those can be supportive beliefs, productive beliefs, however you want to call it, or limiting beliefs. So I'll give you an example. One belief that comes from a filter for my ideal clients is that the transformational industry should be held to a higher standard, right? There should be high standards in the transformational industry. Another belief of my ideal client, I don't have to indoctrinate them into this because they already believe it, right, is that in order to create outer results, inner work needs to be a part of that process. When I integrate those beliefs based on filters into my marketing, number one, my prospect sees, oh my gosh, this person gets me. She's singing my tune. She believes what I believe. There's going to be synergy here. Number two, the prospect feels seen and heard. Another, right, important, as we know, coaching transformational principle. Number three, when the prospect reads or hears these beliefs that are so close to who they are, they become more activated by it. Now, that's if it's a supporting belief. If it's a limiting belief, what we want to do in our marketing is dispel those limiting beliefs. We want to speak to them again. Client will feel so seen and heard. Oh, she gets what I'm going through here. And then we want to dispel them. And Paul, I see your hand is raised.
Thanks, Joanna. So I had a quick question. Just kind of how what you, the difference you see between personality and disposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that I see that much of a difference. I mean, you can define it however you want.
Cool.
Yeah. Good question. I know. As I was saying that, I was like, "Is there a difference between them?" I'm not sure. That's why I didn't give an example for disposition.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll think about that more for myself. Yeah, and then I don't, if there's space, I'd love to share the top three beliefs, but I'm also happy to hold that.
Yeah, no, I was just going to ask for some shares, so go right ahead.
So the top three beliefs is that, like, I need to earn my worth, there's something wrong with me, and I'm behind somehow. So these are all limiting.
Yeah, which is still really important. So have you been integrating those into your marketing?
Well, I don't market, so I haven't. But yeah, I mean, this is, I saw that you posted this question about the filters and I've been wanting to work with it. So I love this connection and I get the point around like dispelling it.
Yeah. So let's just brainstorm for you and also for examples for other people, you know, ideas for other people. So how could you use, and those are three really powerful beliefs that I know your people hold. And that they struggle with. How could you use them in your marketing?
That, I mean, yeah, that, you know, that, like, we're inherently worthy or, like, whole and complete exactly as we are, like I saw in one of the, you know, that, yeah, there's nothing wrong with you, like, for feeling, for being affected, for being sensitive,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then tie all of this into, like, at that individual level, but then also tie some of this into that, you know, so much of this is, like, capitalist and patriarchal.
Yeah, which is so at the core of your stuff. So, absolutely. So you'd want to name the beliefs outright, right? So just some examples. Number one, you could write an article like the three most powerful beliefs that stand in the way of, right, blah, 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 yes, whatever the end of that title is,
yeah.
And speak to these three beliefs. You could put a version of that into a sales page or a program guide. That could be a workshop or a Facebook Live. And also you want to be listening for those beliefs as they come up in enrollment conversations to create awareness around them.
Yeah.
Good. Awesome.
Thank you.
Who else? Star two. We've still got a lot to look at today, but I'd love to hear another share or questions that are coming up so far. What are you seeing? Anyone want to share? If not, we'll keep on going. All right, let's keep on going. All right, a couple other listening pieces. If you remember, another thing that you want to be listening for with clients, and again, you want to be, you know, metaphorically listening for this with prospects, is there a mismatch between your prospect's desires and their behaviors? So let me ask you this question, and you can jot down notes for your ideal client. Are there a mismatch between their desires and their behaviors, and what are a couple of the most common mismatches there? So as an example, there's a mismatch between maybe the desire to want to bring on more clients, but the behavior of not doing any outreach or not doing any marketing. Maybe there's a mismatch between the desire to want to find a beloved, that's the desire, but the behavior is continue staying in an old relationship that is never going to change, or continuing to attract that same kind of person that isn't going to, you know, be that beloved. When we can integrate mismatch in desire and behavior into our marketing, number one, it's kind of a shorthand activating gap in vision in a way, but it's also an incredible creating awareness. You know, we want to listen for that and then create awareness around it. It's an incredible creating awareness tool for clients. It can be a big aha moment for them, even though it seems run-of-the-mill for us. Remember, like, we've been at it and understand our ideal clients sometimes way better than they understand themselves. You know, we've seen patterns before, all of that. But sharing this in your marketing back, again, will help them feel seen, heard, and loved. Can create some important awareness. Perhaps, probably all of you maybe have been on an enrollment conversation where this has happened, right? Just a simple thing, you're listening to your prospect and you point out a mismatch, and it's such a big moment for that prospect. The more that you can integrate this into your marketing, the more powerful the marketing is going to be. And then one more point on listening skills and how to apply them to marketing. Hunches. So back to sacred depths and listening skills. Listening isn't just about listening to your client, it's about listening to yourself, right? And that dance between the two. What are some hunches that you have about your ideal client? Because it's oftentimes thought hunches, again, hunches don't come out of thin air when we're really using our listening skills. It's that the dance between the two. What are some hunches that you have about your ideal client that you haven't been sharing? Now, if you're, as I'm asking these questions, if you're like, I don't know, like, I don't know who my ideal client is. I don't know what their beliefs and filters are. You know, I don't know what their desires versus their behaviors are. Or maybe it's changed recently, you know, who your ideal client is and you're not sure, whatever it is. I highly, highly recommend informational interviews. So asking two or three or four people that you sense would fit your ideal client profile, asking them questions, seeing if they're willing to hop on the phone with you for 20 minutes or so, and asking them different questions about who they are, what they value, what are their priorities, what is it that they really want, what is it that they're really scared of? What gets in their way? Really, it's the same questions that you oftentimes would ask or listen for in an enrollment conversation. And that's the other thing you can do is if you're not sure, go back to the last couple enrollment conversations you had with people that were ideal, you know, whether they signed up or not, like if they were ideal, and what did you garner from those conversations? You'll learn a lot. So it's okay if you're not sure. Always ask. Always ask people. All right, let me pause here before we go into creating awareness. Anyone want to share anything? What's coming through or any questions that you have? Who is this calling from the web?
Michelle?
Hey, Michelle.
Hi. Wasn't sure. Okay. The hunches I have about my client, and it's interesting to do this now in the midst of this pandemic, because I think, I don't know that they're that different, but I can see it more clearly, I guess, is that I think people are really unmoored and without purpose. They're scared. They're really beating up on themselves because they expect too much of themselves under these circumstances, and they feel really ungrounded, which I see gives me the opening to really talk about purpose or spirit, as I keep talking about, but that's the opening for all of that.
Totally. I love it. So first of all, great just like listening skills and like activating of your intuition and your hunches. That makes so much sense. And the other thing that I want to pull out from what you're saying, which is really important, is that marketing isn't monolithic. You know, it's like, it's such a great example. You're kidding, like, we're going through a pandemic right now. So how does marketing need to change because of the pandemic? You wouldn't speak to this necessarily, you know, outside of this container. But this is something that's so relevant
Although I do think, like, for my clients, I think these things are normally there, right? They normally
do. Well, that's what I was going to say. They probably are, but they're amplified now, right?
Yes, yes,
so,
absolutely.
Like, they've come more to the surface.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we it's a really good skill to have to adapt the marketing to a particular moment in time. That doesn't mean that all of our marketing changes. You know, it's not this big, like, pivot that a lot of people are talking about right now. It's not a pivot. It's a more nuanced. It's being more nuanced in the listening and then in expressing what the client is ready for based on any given moment in time.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Adina.
Hi. So what's coming up, and I had sort of hoped for an opportunity to ask about this, and I think it fits in. This can kind of fit in terms of the mismatch between desire and behavior, to a certain extent, but also very much in terms of just the whole theme of integrity. And that has to do with something that I've been experiencing, also one of my clients, and a couple of other people, several people that I've been talking to in my morning practice community have been really struggling with this. And this has to do with social media. On one hand, wanting to be engaged in what is happening in the world in a productive way, but having experienced real severe and almost to the point of debilitating overwhelm through social media, and really needing intuitively to take a big step back from it, and really just not wanting that to be where I'm putting my energy personally. And again, this is something that came through in a recent client session that I just deeply identified with, of, you know, is someone, a client saying, you know, I've put these boundaries in place for myself, but how do I avoid sort of retreating too far? And, you know, for this client, she's not actively in a place right now where she needs to be marketing for anything right at this moment in her work. And for me, I feel like I've made a conscious choice to off doing much active marketing, but to really, in the first place, but to give myself sort of the rest of the summer to really just dig into finding my footing and everything going on and doing a bunch of training that I'm undertaking and kind of taking a step back. But I'm just really wanting to, at the same time, use this time to position to take things a step forward in my coaching work and business in the fall. Feeling really happy not being on social media.
I think there's two things here. So first of all, like, you can please give yourself a permission to take a social media break. You know, like, that's not the only way to market. And I have a couple of clients, not a lot, but I have a couple of clients who have very successful businesses and do not have social media accounts. Like, one of them is very successful, and I was like, can you please get a social media account just so you can join my Facebook group, you know, like, just for that. So social media is a great marketing tool, but if that's not where you're at right now, it's not, there is no rule, you know, like, there's no one way to do marketing. There are plenty of other strategies. Ways to connect with people, to network with people, you know, to be in relationship with people that you can be using until, you know, at some point if you do feel ready. That's number one. The other thing I just want to say, like, and this is a guess, and you can tell me if this sounds true to you, based on what you were sharing and based on what I know about you, and obviously your ideal client is a version of you, I think that one of your ideal client's filters is that they are highly sensitive people, and that's one of the reasons why they're so overwhelmed by social media, you know, because they're maybe more sensitive, and this is going to sound woo, and you can put it into other words if it's too woo for you, but, like, they're sensitive to energy. They're sensitive to too much technology. They're, you know, whatever it is. And that might be a valuable and powerful thing to speak to in your marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That land?
Yeah, that's definitely. Yeah.
And there's great, there's a book, oh, I wish I could remember the name of the author, but I think it's called Sensitive or Quiet. It's all about highly sensitive people. I'll find it for you. It might. I can't believe I haven't connected this for you before, but I think it could be valuable for you.
Yeah.
Clients in your marketing.
But yeah, it's interesting. I never actually identified when sort of profiling my ideal clients, which I think of in terms of, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs and transitioning professionals who are very purpose-oriented and all of that stuff, but it is a theme that I definitely get a lot of empaths coming my way.
So you want to speak to that. That's who they are. They need to recognize themselves in your marketing.
That's definitely a piece that I have not spoken to. So
awesome. That would be a great piece to start adding in.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, let's keep on going. Lots more here. So let's talk about creating awareness. You guys remember, hopefully, creating awareness skills. And I want to speak to a couple of the creating awareness skills that can be very powerfully integrated into marketing. So the first is, remember, honoring what is. So when we work with our clients, one of the things that is so vital and so valuable in terms of feeling seen and heard, in terms of being validated, in terms of feeling inspired, in terms of feeling supported, in terms of, like, not going down the rabbit hole into other negativity, is for the practitioner to honor what is, right? To not whitewash the things that are shitty. Are there common denominator things that are shitty, excuse my language, or that suck, that your ideal client particularly prone to or aware of or sensitive to that you could be honoring, and by honoring I mean naming, acknowledging with compassion in your marketing. So this is an interesting one, right? You may need to think about this one for a moment. Are you honoring what is in your marketing? What are things that are, you can honor what is? In your marketing. So, as an example, for me, one of the things that I often honor in my marketing, and people resonate so deeply with this, is I often say that, you know, if you're going to really embrace all of life, and if you're going to really support your clients to embrace all of life, we need to acknowledge that it's not all, you know, sunshine and roses, right? That there is grief. Is underneath the joy, is underneath the grief, is underneath the joy. And for those of us that live a life of depth, again, back to who my client is, this is something that we experience, right? And that's different from other people who maybe aren't as deep and stay on the surface and, like, hang out more in the joy. Right, so I'm naming this for my people. I'm honoring what is. For those of you that have seen, you know, the recent launch that I've been doing for the Wicked Stepmothers and Lowly Handmaidens, it's all about jealousy. So number one, right, that's a gap. But number two, I'm really honoring what is in that marketing, right? I'm speaking to, like, jealousy exists. So how can you honor more what is? What would be powerful for your prospects to hear? In terms of this honoring what is. And back to what Michelle was speaking about before, especially these days, right? They're shitty things, right? Like, is that important for your clients to honor some of those things? If you're working on relationships, you know, honor what it feels like to be in a relationship that is misaligned. It's a little bit different than activating gap. And what I'll say is it's different from a lot of marketing that you see out there that, well, no, here's what I want to say. Sorry, I just articulated it. There's a type of activation of gap that's motivated by fear, and then there is the type of activation of gap that is motivated by honoring what is. For marketers that are in integrity and also that want our marketing to be transformational, we do not want to activate gap in a fear-based way. We want to activate gap in an honoring what is way. The fear-based way may be effective for sales. I'm not saying that it's, a lot of people use it effectively for sales, But then who's the client? Who do you end up with? You know, what kind of fear? We don't want people to come in that are being motivated by fear. I hope that made sense. I'm sure there are some questions on this. We'll open up in a little bit, but I want to just look at two other pieces before we get there. The next piece around creating awareness that is useful in marketing is celebrating. So, again, back to feeling seen, heard, and loved. Right, and you guys know the application of this in client sessions. We're looking for our clients' brilliances and to reflect that back to them. We're looking for our clients' wins and to reflect that back to them. We're looking for our clients' resources and to reflect that back to them. In the client context, that creates motivation, it creates resilience, it creates like a strong foundation to then move forward with action steps. Same goes for marketing. People are motivated. One of the things that motivates people to buy is confidence. Again, this is very different than that fear-based marketing I was just talking about a minute ago. When someone feels that they can accomplish the goal that they want to accomplish, they're more likely to invest in accomplishing that goal. Say that again. When somebody believes that they have the ability to accomplish the goal that they want to accomplish, they're actually more likely to invest in accomplishing that goal. So we want to integrate, create awareness around celebrations, resources, brilliances, wins, assets in our marketing to, number one, to create confidence on behalf of the prospect that the investment is going to be worthwhile, that there's a reason to invest because they can make it happen, right? They can reach their goal. The other reason why we want to create awareness around celebrations, brilliances, resources, assets is, again, seen, heard, and loved. Again, she really sees me. Oh, and this is like I'm the kind of person, right? So you guys know I've shared this with you before. Like one of the things that I include a lot in my marketing is like I know that my ideal client is whip smart, and I know that they feel proud in their smartness. Or maybe they don't believe totally that they're smart, but they really, really want to. Like, right? Intelligence is important to them, right? So I name that in my marketing, like, this is for whip smart people. So what are some celebrations, wins, resources, assets that you haven't been including in your marketing that could be really valuable? Are you really holding up your prospects and your marketing? Are you really showing and communicating through your marketing that you have incredible respect for who your prospect is? And then the other thing to consider with creating awareness is, remember, another one of our creating awareness skills is reflecting hard truths. We want to do this with our clients. We also want to do this in our marketing. We want to be truth tellers. So an example for me is, like, I don't mince any words in sharing that I love the transformational industry, but there are problems with it, and a lot of people have been burnt. I honestly reflect the hard truth that marketing is very, very important when it comes to growing your business. But if you've been focusing solely on marketing and you don't have the transformational skills to back it up, the marketing is only going to get you so far. I'm very, very honest in reflecting the hard truth that it is out of integrity to make promises in your marketing if you don't have the skills and the experience to back it up. And some people hate me for reflecting these hard truths. This is true. But for my ideal client, even if it causes some tension momentarily, it attracts them, it magnetizes them, it activates them. So what are some hard truths that you've been avoiding? Probably comes up in your client work, but you've been avoiding in your marketing. All right, let's pause here. What's coming through? What are you seeing, or what questions do you have? And it's great to hear from you guys, because it's also like generating ideas for everybody on the call. So star two, I want to hear from you. What are you seeing? What's coming through? Inbox.
I'm happy to wait if someone else wants to go.
Right now you're the only hand raised, so go for it. Hopefully more people.
Right on. Yeah, so this part came really easy for me. It's really good, these linkages, but, you know, I've shared this before, like, so some of the hard truth is that, like, you know, like in being complicity in, you know, like that, in a way we're perpetuating by not taking care of ourselves, by not seeking support, that we're actually perpetuating a world that we know isn't just. Recognizing, like, our power and value, and often, you know, that comes up as, like, overwhelm, or, you know, or, like, lethargy. But yeah.
I love that. That's
yeah,
so
that's
powerful.
Really resonating.
Yeah, that's so powerful for your people. So powerful. I think that's, yeah, I'm so glad that came through.
And so in a way, it's also like, it's like I'm seeing the reflecting the hard truth as like also a way of like claiming what's at stake.
Yeah, I love, yes, that's a great way of putting it. Reflecting the hard truth is a way of claiming what's at stake. So it's just in this loving way, but also in this direct way, really communicating with the client what's at stake for them. Nice. Thank you. Who else? Star two. Or if you're stuck, also raise your hand. See if we can get you unstuck. I think this is Michelle again.
Yes, it is. I actually, this was a new thought for me. These industries, and I mean law and academia, ask too much of us, and all the productivity hacks in the world won't change this. The real work is the political and community-based solutions.
Oh, I just got chills when you said that. That is taking a stand.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And it's medicine that I think your people need to hear, right? It's another great example of marketing being transformational because it's medicine that your people need to hear, and it will also pull them towards wanting to go deeper into the work with you.
Right, right. Yeah. Yes.
Good. Thanks. All right. Let's keep on going. I want to hear from some of the people I haven't heard from too, but we'll keep on going because there's a little bit more I want to cover today. I quickly just mentioned visioning, right? We know that as, you know, both you guys know this as a transformational skill to use with clients, but also in marketing, you know, that's pretty much marketing 101. But just a good check, right? Like, are you including ideal clients' vision in your marketing? Are you including results that your ideal client wants? What are the results that your ideal client desires? And I'll share with you guys something that I've learned recently around this that might be helpful for you. You know, we all have different kinds of offerings, and recently I heard my friend Elizabeth Purvis. She's an incredible marketer. And she was saying that for offerings, and this really resonated with me, that's why I'm sharing. So with offerings that are, she calls them front door offerings, like the first thing that somebody might step into with you, unless it's, well, even if it is private, there may be a lot of adaptation here. But, like, for the easiest offer, don't list 10 results. Have it be one easy result. So this would be just the easiest offering for somebody to step in with you. So maybe it's your a 3-month private practice. 3-month private package, or maybe it's your 90-minute like intro thing that you have, or maybe it's your introductory group program. But instead of making your 10 different result promises, what if it was one easy win for someone that can make it a no-brainer in a way, right? So I do this with the smaller workshops that I offer. I hadn't realized I had been doing this, but that's really what I'm doing, like, with the smaller workshops. It's just an easy to step into with one result. So you can be really clear on it. That might be helpful. If it's not, disregard, but I thought I'd toss that in there. All right, so that's visioning. I'm not going to go too deep into it because that's pretty standard for marketing. But where I want to look next is strategizing. This is a skill, you know, we cover in Sacred Depths. It's a pretty standard transformational or coaching skill, right? And we do this with clients all the time. You know, we dip into the inner work. We look at the beliefs. We ask questions. We, you know, all the things. But we also, in order to get to a result, we strategize with them, right, on each call or in planning sessions or whatever it is, but there's like a plan that gets created in one way or another, in big ways and in small ways, right? I've said this to you before, like in any session that I do with a client, even if out of 45 minutes we're spending, you have 35, 36, 37 of those minutes going to the depths, doing the deep inner work, I'm still going to save a couple minutes at the end for strategizing, for some kind of action, right? What are the next actions? What's happening here? It's transformational to have a plan or a set of action. So how does this relate to marketing? Well, we want to include in our marketing a strategy of how our product, our offer, is going to support the client, the prospect, to achieve the result that they want to achieve. So this is very much related to the bridge. The bridge is the strategy. The strategy is necessary in marketing because, back to this confidence idea that I was talking about before, if our marketing can support a prospect to feel confident that they can achieve a result, they're more likely to invest. Now, when we create awareness around celebrations, wins, resources, that helps to create confidence for the client in herself. When we share strategy or how our offering is going to help the client get the result that they want, that fosters confidence in us as the practitioner and in our offering. When someone can feel confident in themselves and then confident in the offering, that's when they're more likely to invest. When someone can see a pathway to their result, then they're more confident that they can get to the result. So you do want to include the strategy of how your offering is going to help. Again, this is similar to bridge, but I'm putting it in this context because it might help click some things for you in a different way. So what are the step-by-step pieces that you're going to work on with this client or that you're offering will support your client with that are going to help them get to their result, to their vision, to what it is that they deeply desire. All right. And then I want to just spend a couple minutes talking about befriending your fear and the resistance archetypes, because those are both tools that can also be very powerfully used in your marketing. So let me share a little bit about this. They're both a little bit different. But so befriend your fear, as you guys know, is like a philosophy, aside from the actual technique. The philosophy behind it is that the more that you can see your fears, name your fears, acknowledge your fears, and get to know them and become friends with them, then the easier it is to move forward. We want to apply that philosophy to marketing. The more that we can support our prospects to be aware of their fears, and when I say their fears, I mean in getting to the results that they want, as well as in signing up to work with us, the more that we can support our clients to be aware of the fears, to see the fears, to normalize the fears, to understand the fears, to become friends with the fears, then the less likely the fear is to stand in the way of them signing up. So this can look a lot of different ways in marketing. Number one, you want to get clear on what are your clients' fears, you know, common denominator right across the board, like what are clients' fears? And you want to speak to them and normalize them in your marketing. And because you're sacred depths practitioners, you know, that may be also one of the strategy pieces, right, like to help befriend the fears and transcend them. But you don't leave the fear out of, and so this is different than the fear-based marketing I was talking about before, right? This, we're not activating the fear for the sake of fear-based selling. We're looking the fear in the eye for the sake of befriending it to open up the pathways. So, you know, this, for example, this can look so many different ways, but for example, this can look like a document where you speak about the top five fears of someone who blah, right, like whatever the result people want. This can be to actually name fears on a sales page and just speak to them and normalize them. So a great way for a prospect to feel seen and heard and, like, supported to want to move forward anyway, right? Because you're calling out that the elephant in the room. It can look like taking someone through a befriend your fear process in a prospect conversation. I just want to throw that out for you, like getting creative in your enrollment conversations, right? I wouldn't do it just to do it, but if there's a particular fear, like if someone is so ready to step in and invest, but there's a particular fear that just like really comes up, take them through a process. See if that can loosen you see if the befriend your fear process can loosen them up a bit. Once they can become better friends with it, it may not stand in their way of committing to working with you. So take a moment and think on this. What are either some fears that could be better integrated into marketing? And again, not fear-based, but addressing them. And also, what are some ways that you could do this? What are you seeing? You can get a little creative there. Fears can also be integrated into, and resistances can also be integrated into commonly asked questions or frequently asked questions. Really effective marketers use frequently asked questions sections to just speak to resistances and fears. So, for example, what if I can't make all the calls live, right? That's a resistance and a fear, right? That's one. What if I, you know, this is one that we address. You know, what if I'm don't have any coaching experience, right? That's a fear, not just for someone to invest in the program, but like to go deep in their skills, right? Like, what if I can't do this because I don't have experience? What if I'm very seasoned? What if my clients don't want to go deep, right? So you can use those in frequently asked questions as well. All right, we've got just a couple minutes left. So I'd love to hear what's coming through, what questions you have, what you're taking away from our call. Michelle, I don't know if this is your hand up from before or not.
Oh, it's a mistake. Sorry.
It what? Oh, it's a mistake. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What are you guys taking before we wrap? Inval.
I mean, there's so much, so I really love the application of the sacred depth skill to marketing. I really like this approach. Taking away one of the specific things is this differentiation between fear-based marketing and facing the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask a question, actually, about bringing in strategizing. So you were saying that the bridge is the strategy. So how would you, can you give an example of, like, what would be the step-by-step pieces? Like, how do you, or, like, an example from your business, like, and I don't know if this is, like, the BBS, but also,
so
like, how much would you how would you put that into marketing?
Right. So it can be, like, expanded or contracted forms of the BBS. So, for example, let's just take sacred depths as an example. So, like, an expanded form of sharing the strategy is the when I share the whole curriculum guide, you know, like, each of the modules and why they're important and why you need them. That's a long form, and that can
right.
be very effective. But there are other places where I do it in short form, where I talk about mastery of skills, mastery of human behavior, and self-mastery, and how those are the three general pieces that are the strategy pieces to get to incredible, you know, being able to create incredible experiences for clients. So depending on where and how much space and, you know, and you just want to vary it sometimes, you can have, like, longer form, but then you can also have shorter form. Is that helpful to think of in that way?
yeah, I'm not seeing like it. Yeah, that's helpful. I'm not seeing like direct application yet for me. So I don't know if there's a question like,
maybe
I need to work on my BBS.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, it's no fun sometimes.
It can be.
But my guess, I don't want to give you busy work, too. Like, I just want you to outreach. So this does not have to happen in order for you to do outreach in Ball, but it could be a good just activity in the background to go through your BBS. My sense is it's probably shifted since the last time you looked at it, and so it wouldn't be a bad idea to sweep some dust off and take a look at it. It might also be inspiring, too.
Yeah. Marcy will be happy. Thanks, Joanna.
Yeah, thanks. All right, everyone. I hope that some good things are stirring for you from our call today. I hope that you feel inspired to infuse some new energy into your marketing and to really think about marketing as transformational and as a value add, because it can be. I am sending you all so much love. I'm so excited that I will be with many of you come the fall. I am just sending love to all of you, whether I will be or not, and know that, I am always here. I know some of you are still thinking about next steps. Advanced Depth is totally sold out. Can't even share it with the public. It just sold out internally. There are a couple of spots left in Coaching Mastery Circle, if that's something that you're thinking about. Reach out and let me know. But I'm sending you all a lot of love. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.